Tom Appel joins us, Consumer Guide Automotive. Mr. Appel, good evening, sir. How are you?
I am well, John. Thank you.
I want to get to the wild car repossession story in a moment. But first, I missed the memo that we now had started using automated semi-trucks in this country. I think I follow the autonomous car story well, but I maybe just didn't realize that we had switched something and we have big semi-rigs moving products in this country right now.
Yeah, the whole notion that you or I will buy a car without a steering wheel anytime soon is pretty far-fetched. But it's interesting how secretly and sort of behind the scenes, Class 8 big trucks, shipping trucks, over-the-road trucks, there's been some progress there, and there are a few examples of driverless vehicles working on very predictable routes. And there's a lot of reasons for this. One is that driving on the highway is easier than driving in the city. And these routes are always the same. They're always predictable, and they can be easily, simply programmed. And because the demand ultimately in the end for driverless trucks probably is more promising in terms of being profitable than cars for the consumer. Truck drivers are hard to find. They're very well paid, and they kind of hate the work.
Right.
If you can replace them, you can make life easier for a lot of shipping companies. So a company called Aurora Innovation is currently running very simple routes between, is it Houston and Dallas, I think?
Yep.
It's about a 200-mile route, and it seems to be going well. There's not a lot of trucks. They don't talk a lot about how much stuff they're moving, but it is happening.
And this is without a driver there in case something goes wrong, or is someone sitting there?
Right now, they are driverless.
Wow.
But I think there's a lot of rules about this, though, because there are things that a truck driver has to do in case they have to pull over, like set up signs and flares and things like that. So I think that they keep manned vehicles on these routes for now. It's not as autonomous as it seems.
Oh, so there is a driver in them, you said?
There are cars driving along with them.
I see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I land on this, Tom. You and I have had this conversation, I think, before, the idea that, of course, there are human error accidents all the time that kill people. Truck drivers are not immune to that either. But there will be a point in the future, if there hasn't been already, where one of these trucks gets in an accident that could prove to be fatal. And the standard is just going to be so much higher for robot-driven vehicles than it is for human-driven vehicles. And that's always the big question mark of the threshold that we as humans have to allow death behind the wheel due to robots, even though it happens way more frequently with humans. You kind of see what I'm driving at here, Tom?
No, I do, and this was a problem for Cruise Automation. Cruise is an defunct division of General Motors, but they were running autonomous cars in San Francisco, and they had fewer accidents than humans did, in terms of miles traveled. However, when they did have an accident, it was spectacular, and the media was all over it, and it was kind of gruesome, too. So, yeah, it was a difficult piece of PR for them to get past.
Tom, did you say that the tractors, the semis that are automated, they don't have a driver on board?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, safety drivers, fairly typical. Like right now, we know that Tesla is running vehicles in Austin, and those have safety drivers on board. And you have to get past that with the government of the state that you're operating in. So that is a level of sort of competency and certification that you need to get.
So what happens if something goes wrong with a truck? How do they stop it?
Well, as I understand it now, first of all, these trucks are monitored remotely, closely. And second, I understand that they have vehicles in traffic near these vehicles.
So like cars alongside, like almost paving the way or close behind.
You know what? That doesn't make me feel comfy.
Yeah, but David, I mean, and this is no knock against truck drivers who I'm sure are doing their best, but sometimes overworked, sometimes sleeping at night on the, I mean, like, it is a tough gig, and I don't know that I don't trust the automated truck more than I do in the middle of the night a truck driver who's been working way more than they should, right?
Yeah, because the current regulation is 11 hours and 24.
Yeah.
For an over-the-road truck. And that's a long day.
Yeah.
That's what they prefer.
That's a really long day.
Yeah, and drivers just want to get home, right? And especially drivers that are close to home.
The overall problem I've got with it is that if you don't have roads that are smart, that are interacting with whatever self-driving software and hardware your vehicle is equipped with, you're running into a problem.
And Tom, isn't that why they're trying to do this highway thing where it's a more predictable, easier to navigate road for a robot, I guess?
It is. And you guys might remember when Foxconn was busy trying to do something in Kenosha, one of the things that they were going to do was set up a specific route between Kenosha and Mitchell Airport to run freight rather regularly. But one of the problems in the U.S. is that there is no federal campaign to build the infrastructure that might make this all easier. So we're more dependent on completely capable vehicles that don't work with infrastructure, and that is slowing things down a lot.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, Tom, the story of the woman. Did you read this one out of the Ohio dealership? They took her car. They repossessed her car, even though they had given it to her, because they determined later that the loan information she had provided was not sufficient enough to really cover the loan, so they took the car back. Did you see what she did next?
I did, and it's hilarious. Yeah, she financed a car. She thought everything was fine, and 6 weeks later, they said they couldn't finance her, and they repossessed her car. Do I have the name of the dealership here?
Oh, I got it. It's Taylor Kia of Lima. Yeah.
She found out what a wonderfully devious bit of retribution. She found out that the dealership had not renewed its license for its name, so she went and bought it. That's
she
hilarious.
Bought the name Taylor Kila. She repossessed the name of the dealership.
Yes.
I love
how
that.
How fast did they give her back the car?
The story is still open. That's the funny part about this. They tried to force her into some sort of arbitration. Turns out they weren't allowed to put it in arbitration.
Oops.
So they're going to have to deal with her and probably buy the name back.
Yeah, because she...
And I hope it costs as much as a new car.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's innovative.
No, that's going to be the price. You're going to give me a new car. Thank you very much.
Yeah, or just give me the car you gave me under the original loan agreement. I just love that they sent her... Or excuse me, she sent a cease and desist letter to the dealership quickly afterwards saying,
oh, that is priceless.
I love that story. That's a good one, Tom Appel. Tom, everything else good in your world? What do you want to plug here today at Consumer Guide Automotive?
Well, you know what? I will be on with Steve and Johnny Saturday night.
Oh, where we originally found you at WGN with Steve and Johnny, right?
Years ago.
Not too many, though, Tom. You're a young man. Tell Steve and Johnny hello. I love when you're on with them. I love when they let us have you on with us, too, and all of our other shows. Take care, Tom.